My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Proverbs chapter 5. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding, that you may preserve discretion, and your lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end, she's bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lay hold of hell. Lest you ponder her path of life, her ways are unstable. You do not know them. Therefore, hear me now, my children, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Remove your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the cruel one. Lest aliens be filled with your wealth, and your labors go to the house of a foreigner, and you mourn at last when your flesh and your body are consumed, and say, how I have hated instruction, and my heart despised correction. I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to those who instructed me. I was on the verge of total ruin in the midst of the assembly and congregation. Drink water from your own cistern and running water from your own well. Should your fountains be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets, let them be only your own and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth as a loving deer and a graceful doe. Let her breast satisfy you at all times and always be enraptured with her love. For why should you, my son, be enraptured by an immoral woman and be embraced in the arms of a seductress? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. His own iniquities entrap the wicked man, and he is caught in the cords of his sin. He shall die for lack of instruction, and in the greatness of his folly, he shall go astray. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, once again we come before your throne by the blood of Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son. We come not because of any goodness in us. We come because we know that you, in your mercy, sent your only begotten Son into this world. And we thank you, blessed Lord, that you came and you shed your blood on the cross to forgive us of our sins. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us the free gift of eternal life and the joy of abundant life. We thank you, Lord. You have not dealt with us according to our sins or transgressions or iniquities, but you took the very wrath of God upon yourself. The wrath that we deserved, you took, O God, so that we could be forgiven. Thank you, blessed Lord Jesus. Thank you, blessed Lord Jesus, for what you did for us on the cross. Thank you that you raised us up and you seated us with you. We thank you that you, O Lord God, have seated us with you. You indeed being seated far above all rule, authority, power, dominion, by every name that is named in this age and the age to come. We thank you for sealing us by your Spirit unto the day of redemption. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us the guarantee of your Spirit. Thank you that you've come to dwell in us and we belong to you. Our bodies are your temple, our bodies are your treasure. Our bodies are instruments in your hands and weapons for your use. So, Lord, we pray, even as we open your holy word, as we meditate upon your holy word, speak to our hearts, O Lord. Cause your word to become life in us. Keep us from the evil one. O Lord, keep us from the evil one. Thank you for hearing and answering our cry in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Proverbs chapter 5, right up to chapter 7. Speaks about the path of folly and death. The path of folly and death. Proverbs chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 14, we read, "You shall not commit adultery. You shall not commit adultery." The Lord God spoke those words at Mount Sinai, and we call this commandment the seventh commandment. This is what we call the seventh commandment, Exodus chapter 20, verse 14. Now, this commandment declares that sexual intimacy outside the bonds of marriage is wrong and it is sinful, even if it is between two consenting adults. And this law specifically mentions adultery. Exodus 20:14 specifically mentions adultery, but the commandment includes the sexual sins prohibited elsewhere in the scripture. Therefore, we must read. One should read the whole of Leviticus chapter 18 and then read Romans chapter 1. I read to you verses 24 to 27, Romans chapter 1. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. They traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. That is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Even the women turned against the natural way to have sex and instead indulge in sex with each other. And the men, instead of having normal sexual relations with women, burned with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men. And as a result of the sin, they suffered within themselves the penalty they deserved. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, he writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, he's writing to the believers in the Corinthian church. And he says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 12 to 13, we read, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Foods for the stomach and the stomach for foods, but God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 15 to 20, we read, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make the members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for the saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Now listen carefully. God invented sex, and God has every right to tell us how to use it properly. I repeat, God invented sex, and God has every right to tell us how to use it properly. Any form of sex outside of marriage is sin, and God condemns it. However, on hearing the seventh commandment, many people in modern society, they arrogantly ask, what's wrong? What's wrong with premarital or extramarital sex or any other kind of sex for that matter? After all, they argue, many people indulge in these things and they seem to get away. They seem to get away with it. Furthermore, these activities are more acceptable today than in the time of Solomon. Why make a big issue of all this? Sex is fun, they say, so don't take it too seriously. Now, it is true that some well-known people have indulged in sexual sins and even bragged about what they have done, including government officials, Hollywood stars, sports heroes, and alas, even preachers have lived immoral lives. But that doesn't make it right. Sexual sin is one of the main themes of numerous movies, TV programs, novels, short stories. Yet, popularity is no test of right and wrong. The porn industry is a billion-dollar industry under Satan's stronghold. The economy of some countries thrive on illicit sex. Now, let me read to you part of an introduction to an article written by Handit. It is titled, "We Pay." We Pay, the Economic Manipulation of International and Domestic Laws to Sustain Sex Trafficking. Just the short introduction, short part of the introduction, let me read to you. Going to a prostitute is like going to McDonald's. Most people are looking for a quick, cheap meal. It's satisfying, it's greasy, and then you get the hell out of there. The illegal sex industry and McDonald's are both driven by consumer consumption, subject to the economic principles of supply and demand. The impact of the illegal sex industry on society is far more detrimental to mankind's health than fast food. McDonald's credits its success to the ability to sell hamburgers. The illegal sex industry's success depends on selling bodies. The illegal sex industry is inherently a service industry contingent upon a trafficker's ability to supply men, women, and children. The fall of communism in the 1990s led McDonald's to quickly expand into the former Soviet Union in hopes of entering an untapped market. At the same time, the free market's expansion into former communist countries also opened a new market for the sex industry. Human traffickers discovered a new and ready supply of men, women, and children that not only satisfied the greasy and cheap expectations of the West, but also created a demand for new and exotic product. It just happens that these new products were people. How sad. But this is the condition of the world that we live in. Now, many things that the law says are legal, the Bible says are evil. Many things that the law says are legal, the Bible says are evil. Now, please note that there won't be a jury sitting at the white throne judgment. There won't be a jury sitting at the white throne judgment. Revelation 20, verses 11 to 15. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 21, verse 27. But they shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Revelation 22, verse 15. But outside are dogs, and sorcerers, and sexually immoral, and murderers, and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. Now, why worry about sexual sins? Proverbs chapter 5, right up to chapter 7. These three chapters of Proverbs give us three reasons why we should worry if we break God's law of purity. Three reasons why we should worry if we break God's laws of purity. Number one, because sexual sin is eventually disappointing. Proverbs chapter 5. Number two, sexual sin is gradually destructive. Proverbs chapter 6. Number three, sexual sin is ultimately deadly. Proverbs chapter 7. And that's why God says, you shall not commit adultery. Exodus 20 verse 14. Now let's look into Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5. Sexual sin is eventually disappointing. Proverbs chapter 5. When married people honor and respect sex as God instructs them in his holy word, they can experience increasing enjoyment and enrichment in their intimacy. But when people break the rules, the result is just the opposite. They experience disappointment and disillusionment. And then what happens? They search for larger doses of sexual pleasure. They search for larger doses of sexual adventure in order to attain the imaginary pleasure level that they are looking for. God created sex not only for reproduction, but also for enjoyment. And he did not put the marriage wall around sex to rob us of pleasure. He put the marriage wall around sex to increase pleasure and protect the marriage bond. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. In Proverbs chapter 5, Solomon explains the disappointments that come when people violate God's loving laws of sexual purity. What happens? When people violate God's laws of sexual purity, what happens? Number one, their experience goes from sweetness to bitterness. Proverbs chapter 5, verses 1 to 6. I read to you again, Proverbs 5, 1 to 6. My son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding. I'm reading from the King James Version. That thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable. That thou canst not know them. Now we met this strange woman before, the adulteress, Proverbs chapter 2, verse 16. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 16, wisdom will save you also from the adulterous woman, from the wayward woman with her seductive words. She'll be mentioned again. Proverbs 5, verse 20, Why, my son, be intoxicated with another man's wife? Why embrace the bosom of a wayward woman? Proverbs chapter 6, verses 23 to 24. For this command is a lamp. This teaching is the light, and correction, instruction are the ways of life, are the way to life. Keeping you from your neighbor's wife, from the smooth talk of a wayward woman. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 5. They will keep you from the adulterous woman, from the wayward woman with her seductive words. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 14. The mouth of an adulterous woman is a deep pit. A man who is under the Lord's wrath falls into it. Proverbs 23, verse 27. For an adulterous woman is a deep pit, and a wayward wife is a narrow well. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 3. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. Her mouth is smoother than oil. Now this word translated strange woman. The word that's translated strange basically means not related to. So the strange woman is one to whom the man is not related by marriage, and therefore any sexual relationship with her is evil. And the beginning of this sinful alliance may be exciting, it may be sweet, because the kisses and words from her lips drip like honey. That's what the word says. Proverbs chapter 7, verses 13 to 20. Proverbs chapter 7, verses 13 to 20. So she caught him and kissed him. With an impudent face, she said to him, I have peace offerings with me. Today I have paid my vows. So I came out to meet you, diligently to seek your face. And I found you. I spread my bed with tapestry, colored coverings of Egyptian linen. I perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until morning. Let us delight ourselves with love, for my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him and will come home on the appointed day. So the beginning of the sinful alliance could be exciting. It could be very sweet. But in the end, the sweetness turns to bitterness and the honey will become poison. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 4. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Now, the book of Proverbs emphasizes the importance of looking ahead. Proverbs tells us to look ahead to see where your actions will lead you. It's so important. You must always check where are your actions leading you. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 11. And you mourn at last when your flesh and your body are consumed. You mourn at last. You see the end? Proverbs chapter 14, verses 12 to 14. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is a way of death. Even in laughter, the heart may sorrow, and the end of mirth may be grief. The backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways, but a good man will be satisfied from above. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is a way of death. So what must we do? We need to look ahead and see where our actions will lead us. Be very careful. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 20. Listen to counsel and receive instruction, that you may be wise in your latter days. So if you receive counsel now, you'll be wise later on. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 21. An inheritance gained hastily at the beginning will not be blessed at the end. You see that? Immediate satisfaction is what people are looking for, but the end is disaster. Proverbs 23, verses 17 to 18. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. For surely there is a hereafter. There is a hereafter, and your hope will not be cut off. Proverbs 23, verse 32. At the last, it bites like a serpent. See that? Speaking about alcohol. At the last, it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. The wise person, therefore, will check on the destination before buying a ticket. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 26. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. But today's modern society thinks that people can violate God's laws and escape the consequences. No. You see, many people are sure that whatever has happened to others will never happen to them. Sad to say, their ignorance and insolence can never neutralize the tragic aftermath that comes when people break the laws of God. Deuteronomy 32, verse 29. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. You see, there is a tragic end. When people break God's laws, there is a tragic end. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. Deuteronomy 32, verse 29. Number two, their experience goes from gain to loss. Their experience goes from gain to loss. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 7 to 14. Therefore, hear me now, my children, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Remove your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the cruel one, lest aliens be filled with your wealth and your labors go to the house of a foreigner, and you mourn at last when your flesh and your body are consumed, and say, how I hated instruction, and my heart despised correction. I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to those who instructed me. I was on the verge of total ruin in the midst of the assembly and congregation. Temptation always includes hopeful promises. Otherwise, people would never take the devil's bait. For a time, it seems like these hopeful promises have been fulfilled. And sinners, they bask in the sunshine of pleasant experiences and false assurances. The family counselor, J. Allen Peterson, he calls this the myth of the greener grass. The myth of the greener grass. People who commit sexual sins, they think that their problems are solved. The man will say, "Oh, she understands me so much better than my wife does." They think that life will get better and better. But disobedience to God's laws always brings sad consequences. And sinners eventually pay dearly for their brief moments of pleasure. When you read verses 9 to 14 of Proverbs chapter 5, you hear the words of a suffering sinner. He's lamenting the high cost of disobeying God's laws, because the most expensive thing in the world is sin. Never forget that. The most expensive thing in the world is sin. Proverbs chapter 5, verses 9 to 14. Lest you lose your honor to others and your dignity to one who is cruel. Lest strangers feast on your wealth and your toil enrich the house of another. At the end of your life, you will groan when your flesh and body are spent. You will say, "How I hated discipline. How my heart spurned correction. I would not obey my teachers or turn my ear to my instructors. And I was soon in serious trouble in the assembly of God's people." The man who commits adultery discovers that the woman's husband is a cruel man, and he will demand that he pay for what he has done. So the adulterer ends up giving his strength to others and toiling away to pay his debt. Instead of luxury, the sinner has misery. Instead of riches, he has poverty. Instead of success, he's ruined. Instead of a good reputation, the name of an adulterer, that's what he gets. He looks back and he wishes he had listened to his parents and his spiritual instructors, but his wishes can't change his wretched situation. His wishes can't change his wretched situation. Yes, God in his grace will forgive his sins if he repents. If he repents, God in his mercy and grace will forgive his sins. But God in his government sees to it that he reaps what he sows. So it's a dangerous thing to toy with sexual sin. Number three, their experience goes from purity to pollution. Proverbs chapter 5 verses 15 to 20. Drink water from your own cistern and running water from your own well. Should your fountains be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets, let them be only your own and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth as a loving deer and a graceful doe. Let her breast satisfy you at all times and always be enraptured with her love. For why should you, my son, be enraptured by an immoral woman and be embraced in the arms of a seductress? Solomon compares enjoying married love to drinking pure water from a fresh well. But committing sexual sin is like drinking polluted water from the gutter or the sewer. Sex within marriage is a beautiful river that brings life and refreshment. But sex outside marriage is a sewer that defiles everything it touches. To commit sexual sin is to pour this beautiful river into the streets and the public squares. What a waste. The adulteress says in Proverbs 7 verse 18, "Come, let's drink deeply of love till morning. Let's enjoy ourselves with love." If you drink deeply of the wrong kind of love, it will destroy you. Beware. The commitment of marriage is like the banks of the river that keeps the river from becoming a swamp. God's holy law confines the waters within the banks, and this produces power and depth. extramarital and premarital affairs don't satisfy because they are shallow, and it does not take much to stir up shallow water. A man and a woman pledged to each other in marriage can experience the growing satisfaction that comes with love, commitment, depth, and purity. But there's something else involved here. Solomon admonishes the husband to be ravished with his wife's love. The husband is to be ravished with his wife's love. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. Now that word translated ravished also means intoxicated or infatuated. The adulterer watches the river turn into a sewer, but the faithful husband sees the water becoming wine. I think it is significant that Jesus turned water into wine at the wedding feast of Cana, as though he were giving us an object lesson concerning the growing delights of marriage. You read John chapter 2, verses 1 to 11 again. There's so much of insight there. When a husband and wife are faithful to the Lord and to each other, and when they obey scriptures like 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 to 5, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 33, if they obey these portions of scripture, neither of them will look for satisfaction anywhere else. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 to 5, I read to you. Now regarding the questions you asked in your letter. Yes. Yes, it is good to abstain from sexual relations. But because there is so much sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman should have her own husband. The husband should fulfill his wife's sexual needs, and the wife should fulfill her husband's needs. The wife gives authority over her body to her husband, and the husband gives authority over his body to his wife. Do not deprive each other of sexual relations unless you both agree to refrain from sexual intimacy for a limited time so you can give yourselves more completely to prayer. Afterward, you should come together again, so that Satan won't be able to tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23. Wives, submit your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. If husband and wife love each other and seek to please each other and the Lord, their relationship will be one of deepening joy, satisfaction. They won't look around for the greener grass. Number four, their experience goes from freedom to bondage. A life of adultery, that experience goes from freedom to bondage. Proverbs chapter 5, verses 21 to 23. For the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. His own iniquities entrap the wicked man, and he is caught in the cords of his sin. He shall die for lack of instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. Freedom of choice is one of the privileges God has given us. But he instructs us and he urges us to use that freedom wisely. The laws of God are guideposts to lead us to the path of life, to lead us on the path of life. Guideposts, laws of God are guideposts that lead us on the path of life. And God watches the decisions that we make and the way that we take. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Now, as long as we use our freedom wisely, we will mature in Christian character. And God can trust us with more freedom. But if we abuse our freedom and deliberately disobey God's word, our freedom will gradually become bondage, the kind of bondage that cannot easily be broken. Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 22. The evil deeds of a wicked man ensnare him. The cords of his sin hold him fast. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 22. The evil deeds of a wicked man ensnare him. The cords of his sin hold him fast. Those words could have been used as an epitaph as an epitaph of Samson. We read of his wayward life in Judges chapter 13, right up to chapter 16. Samson's life. Oh, what a mess. It's impossible to indulge in sin without being bound. One of the deceitful things about sin is that it promises freedom, but only brings slavery. Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin." Romans chapter 6, verse 16. "Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness?" The cords of sin get stronger the more we sin. Yet sin deceives us into thinking we are free and that we can quit sinning whenever we desire. No. These are bondages. As the invisible chains of habit are forged, we discover to our horror that we don't have the strength to break free. Millions of people in our world today are in one kind of bondage or another, and they are seeking for deliverance. Many are seeking for deliverance. The only one who can set them free is our Lord Jesus Christ. In John 8, verse 36, he says, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." No wonder the Father wants his children to stay away from the adulteress. Remove your way far from her and do not go near the door of her house. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 8. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 27. So let us remember three reasons why we should worry if we break God's laws of purity. They're found in chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7 of Proverbs, because sexual sin is eventually disappointing. Proverbs chapter 5. Sexual sin is gradually destructive. Proverbs chapter 6. Sexual sin is ultimately deadly. Proverbs chapter 7. Today we learn from Proverbs chapter 5, sexual sin is eventually disappointing, because the experience goes from sweetness to bitterness. The experience goes from gain to loss. The experience goes from purity to pollution. The experience goes from freedom to bondage. God willing, we'll look into chapter 6 next Wednesday. For now, let us pray. Over to you, Joe.